Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
We're here every week recapping your favorite true crime TV shows. Whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do. A perfect example of our dedication to your needs is the fact that we covered this show called Bizarre Murders because you told us to.
Yeah, you did this. And now we sound like idiots trying to legitimize cases about hot dog buns.
You all, if you are not on our Instagram, number one, what's wrong with you? Go to our Instagram. We posted a video of Joey's rant from last episode, and I kid you not, I have watched it 15 times, and I laugh like I've never seen it. I actually have sent it to people who don't even know you, and I was like, just so you know, this is Joey.
Hold on. There's people in your life who don't know me?
Thermos's best friend listens to our podcast. His name's Gian, and he loves you, and he sent it to Gian.
Is he single?
No, he's got a beautiful wife.
Ah, fuck him. Oh, well, that's nice. I love you, too, married man. So speaking of married men, if you want more of us, that was not a smooth transition whatsoever.
That's the worst segue ever.
Just go with it. Go with it. Head on over to our Patreon, where for as little as $5 a month, you can get 4 bonus episodes.
Do you know how many episodes that is?
It's a lot of episodes. My God, if you are trying to ignore your children this summer, we've got the perfect thing for you, okay? I'm trying to ignore your kids this summer.
I'm listening to my stories.
So you'll get 3 bonus true crime episodes and 1 bonus true crime adjacent, which is currently Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup.
Incorrect.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
What is it?
Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Babe, we're covering Gypsy Rose.
You said the true crime adjacent. Play it back for him, Rick.
So you'll get 3 bonus true crime episodes and 1 bonus true crime adjacent, which is currently Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup.
See, I told you.
So you're saying that Gypsy Rose is true crime?
Yes.
Wonderful. And we also do 1 episode a month of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, which honestly is a crime.
And I wish we had more. I wish we had the every day.
I do too. Also, if you're looking for community activities, we got all kinds of things. We've got quarterly paint parties. We've got monthly watch parties, yearly circle jerks.
Joseph.
I just got an idea.
Also, our merch boxes are going to be coming out very soon. So if you don't know, we have these cool little merch boxes. Basically, we have a theme and we go a little overboard with the theme. I'm not going to lie to the people. And we put a bunch of really great stuff. And all of that stuff retails for the price that you pay for your tier. It's just a way for us to have some fun. We try and throw as many small businesses as we can. And so if you're interested in that, you can check that out on our Patreon as well.
That's right, y'all. You know, you may think that because I'm the man, I get the last say, but you would be wrong because I had a suggestion for the theme of this quarter's merch box, which was glaucoma, and I got shot down.
He's got some good ideas. But anyway, that's at patreon.com/I think not. But don't you forget, no matter what tier, no matter what you're doing, we're just happy you're here on our main feed, and we will always be here on Wednesday mornings in your ear talking some nonsense. What's wrong with you people?
My God, who wants to hear us squawk at 6 a.m.? Somebody does.
We are on our last episode of Bizarre Murders, and what do you want to say, saying goodbye to Bizarre Murders, my love?
I'll say y'all gonna be my prayer list to the day I die. I said it before, I say it again. Some of y'all need Jesus.
Well, here we go. Season 1, Episode 8, Dying for Love.
Nope. On this episode of Bizarre Murders, when a lonely heart thinks she's found the man of her dreams, she launches into a whirlwind romance.
I don't like him, and I don't trust him.
But will he make her heart skip?
Oh my God, yes, yes.
Or just stop beating?
Send an ambulance right away. My wife's unconscious.
Well, you know, I got something to say.
Oh my, right off the bat?
Yeah, you know, I
just wanted to tell you all that the story you suckers are listening to today takes place in San Francisco.
Yeah?
Yeah, San Francisco ain't got nothing but hippies and bottoms in it. The place smells like patchouli and KY jelly.
Hi, Bobby Lynn. Honestly, that was a bit jarring having you right at the top of the episode. How have you been?
Oh, you know what's jarring? Your eyebrows on a Tuesday. And you know your old hoity-toity host Yellen is known as the original San Francisco treat because she likes to be spit-roasted by men at the La Quinta in the Castro while she sings Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Yeah, those elitist pieces of shit are into some really weird stuff. Some people think that's a treat. I call it the apocalypse. And we are living in the end times.
Okay, is that all you came here to say, Bobby Lynn?
Well, I hear she'll play with your gonads for nothing but a quarter and a bag of licorice jelly beans. And only a sociopath enjoys licorice.
I actually do like black licorice.
I told you. Y'all investigating these crimes, you need to investigate her. Anyway, y'all can take a Sprite and leave and enjoy his stupid story.
Can I ask you a question, my love?
Yeah.
Why does she hate me so much?
I mean, I think for the same reason that Sharon hates me. It's our eyebrows.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Well, Bobby Lynn was correct, you all. It is 2008, and this story does take place in my backyard, allegedly, in San Francisco. Incidentally, my love, do you know lots of people other than me are from San Francisco? Do you know any?
Isn't... No, Joni Mitchell's from Canada.
It's very close to Canada.
Isn't Emily Blunt? She's from England.
From San Francisco specifically.
No, all I know is that San Francisco is full of stanky hippies.
Steve Jobs.
Oh.
Danny Glover.
Oh.
Margaret Cho.
Love her.
Courtney Love.
She's not from Seattle?
Just because she's grungy, babe, doesn't mean she's from Seattle.
Good point.
Ali Wong.
Oh, okay.
And my dad.
Does he live there anymore?
Where is that guy?
You know, I've only been to San Francisco twice. Once on tour where we stayed in the Skid Row of San Francisco. It was a walking nightmare.
Absolutely.
And then the second time was for New Year's Eve where I went to a rave with a guy that I was seeing who was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw him again. So our subject today is Joan. She's 45 and a very successful architect. Does she own her own firm?
No, she was like a high-powered position at the firm. Architects are so smart.
They use like math, right? That new math.
So much math and funny-shaped pencils.
So she's got a lot going for her. But she wants what every woman wants and needs to complete themselves and fulfill their life's purpose of birthing babies and cooking dinner.
I thought you were going to say like a really hefty 401k.
No. That's the man's job.
Oh, yay. Sorry. You're right.
What she's looking for is a man.
Now, Stephen Moore, I am not going to miss you, sir. He comes onto my screen and into my nightmares for the last time because on this, our very holiest of last episodes of Bizarre Murders, he says this.
When you're a woman over 40, unfortunately, most of your dating options are less Fabio and more Flabio.
God, this man is so fucking annoying. Okay, that's not fair. I'm sure he's not always annoying. I'm sure he sleeps. I get it. This man is just doing his job, but I would rather shit a pine cone than listen to this man for one more episode. The attempt at the jokes, it's exhausting.
I would rather finger blast a hornet's nest than ever listen to this man's comedy again. It's like he went to the Carrot Top School of Comedy.
I mean, I understand the point that he's making. It's kind of true because he's saying that women over 40 are a target for piece of shit men, but I have news for you, Stephen. Piece of shit men, it does not discriminate. Age, job, race, religion, or any other classification. They're all shitty. Except for you, babe.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, just ask Selena Gomez. She'll give you an earful. And then the FBI agent, Steve, goes on to tell us how vulnerable this demographic of women is because of their success. Fuck off, please.
I think women at that age just know what they want, Stephen.
Well, I know what I want, and that's to never watch this show again. So one day at work, a new guy walks in. 32-year-old Clay. They introduced themselves and honey, sparks flew. She found Clay to be charming and funny and handsome. And guess what? He's single.
And we know she's smitten, Joseph, because reenactment Joan twirls her hair.
Yes.
Because that's what women do. We twirl our hair when we want to show a man we like him.
Ellen has a different way of flirting. She just shows a nipple.
It's direct and to the point, and it packs a punch. There's only one little problem from Joan's perspective, and that's their 13-year-old age difference. Okay, come to me when you have a real age difference. 13 years, that's nothing. You all know I'm not an active cougar anymore, but I have spent many years perfecting this art, and I'm not just a cougar, I'm the whole damn zoo, okay? But Joey, you know there's a lot of us out there, right?
Yeah.
If you're listening right now, raise your hand if you consider yourself to be a cougar.
Can gay people be cougars?
You could be a cougar too. You know we have an anthem, right?
What?
Yeah. Do you want to hear it?
Fuck yeah, I do.
Hit it, Rick. Everybody knows it. There's probably tons of women singing along to that. I can't believe you didn't know it.
I didn't. Y'all, my sister Ellen wrote that. That's all her. She did that. My sister writes funny songs, too.
I try and keep up with you, my love.
Oh, please. Well, not to also add a song, but
this cougar's on fire!
This cougar was on fire, and she's like, I like what I see. And these two, in a very short amount of time, become inseparable.
So we see reenactment Joanne talking to her reenactment bestie, Lena. And Joan tells Lena a little bit about Clay. You know, he's from the Midwest and other stuff. And Lena's like, well, do you know any more? She's like, I mean, like, you know, stuff. But he's a really good guy. Lena's thinking to herself, okay, that just feels really strange. And then Stephen Moore says,
you've heard people talk about beer goggles, but I've seen plenty of love goggles.
Honestly, at this point, it's my fault for having ears.
If she's got love goggles, you need to have cement boots and be at the bottom of Lake Placenta. That's a real lake. Listen, we've all been there. And Lena really is the voice of reason. She's like, look, I love you. I'm glad you're happy. But I do think you should slow down until you know a bit more about this guy. And I'm like, that is sensible. Because let me tell you, me and my sister Ellen here, at this point, we both require DNA samples from potential partners so we can properly screen them before giving our approval.
We have like glasses on and a clipboard. We're like, did you bring his family tree? Back how many generations? Okay, great. We have blood vials to hand to each other. Here's the urine.
Are you kidding me? Thomas slept in my house. I have hair samples. Don't worry, I'm ready to send them off to forensics. I know what's up. Honey, Joan was like, I'm gonna leave the worrying up to Lena because I'm all in, I'm happy, I'm going with it. So fast forward to 3 months later, Clay gets down on one knee and he pops the question.
2 months after that, they are married. And a couple months after that, Joan is having a little thumb through her records and she sees some withdrawals that she doesn't recognize. Honey, a couple months. If my daughter spends $4.99 at the Dollar General, I'm like, what was this for? I go through my credit card every night. I go through our business credit card too. I was like, Harris, what's this Shopify charge?
Ellen goes through everything. If there's a garbage bag that she took out the night before, she's like, let me just go through this garbage bag, make sure that I know everything that's in it. I might have thrown away something important.
12 hours later.
Look what I got. I got a new couch. Obviously, Joan needs to ask him about it. So she's like,
what is this? These are my accounts.
Joan, I can explain this.
Yeah, you better.
Before we tell you what Clay says, I'm going to tell you this. If I ever get married, we can open a bank account together to deposit money that will go towards bills. Mm-hmm. But my personal account, I'm not even going to tell you where I bank at. Yep. If you ask, I'll simply say, it's the bank of men of shit and I don't trust you. They have branches all over America. No annual fees. Get the fuck out of here.
I know that's kind of a controversial take, but I absolutely believe in keeping your money separate. My ex-husband and I never fought over that. We kept our money separate. We had a joint household account,
sure.
Of course. We split all that stuff. I gave him a bunch of money to open his business. I'm actually not bitter about that at all. I'm totally fine. So I don't know why you keep asking me about it in the sense that I lost all that money in the divorce and I just handed it over just so I could actually get divorced. I'm more than fine with that. So can you excuse me for a minute? Sorry, I'm good.
Ellen, it is me, Gilbert the Goblin.
Hi. I, again, very surprised. What's up?
I have some good news for you.
Okay.
Not only do I love brassieres and thongs made of pearls stolen from middle-aged, actually elderly women's closets, but I also am into coffee beans now.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I don't steal them. I piss in them.
You piss in coffee beans. Have you ever been to Jersey City?
I certainly have. I'm there right now, and I'm coming to you from a coffee shop that your ex-husband owns, and you'll be delighted to know I pissed in all of the coffee beans! Oh. And I stole his panties.
You're using your powers for good. Look at that.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, because I just stole a habit from a nun because I'm thinking of dressing up as Maria in Sound of Music for Halloween. Bye!
So many visitors this episode. We're really going out with a bang.
This is for me. Let me have this.
Absolutely.
So when Clay is confronted about the missing money, he's like,
I'm paying child support.
What?
But says he only did it to support his two children from his two previous marriages.
I've made some bad decisions in my past, but that's what it is. It's the past. Joan, I love you. You're the one I want to be with.
Did I mention I love you?
I feel like there are people in situations that have accidentally omitted something. Didn't I tell you I went to this country once? I can't believe I never told you that story. But I mean, I feel like omitting whole ass human beings, that can't really be an accident.
I appreciate early on when you're dating somebody and they're upfront. Like there was a guy I was dating and he was like, well, I got out of a relationship 6 months ago because I cheated. Mm-hmm. I fucked up. I had a night out and I did something stupid that I'm not proud of, and I cheated, and it's my fault that we ended. And, you know, I tried to make amends. I have to live with that. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I'm gonna have follow-up questions like, okay, thank you for sharing that. Is this a pattern? Is this something that I need to know? Or is this a one night?
Yeah.
But if we are married and you're like, by the way, I've got 7 kids over in Austria and their last name rhymes with Von Klapp and I gotta pay child support, I'm gonna be like, what's going on?
I'd just be like, can't they wear curtains? Take the curtains and make them close. Why do they need so much money?
Can I just tell you something?
Huh?
I love you so much because I love that when I go down a rabbit hole, you're like, I'll jump too.
Always.
Anyway, Joan is like, all right, I forgive you. Don't do it again. And Clay's like, don't worry, I won't. Now, FBI agent Steve comes back to say this.
I've lost count of how many times at the FBI we'd see kind, generous, beautiful women desperate for attention being swept away by boy toys who take them for everything they've got. I mean, if it's too good to be true, it is.
First of all, fuck you, Steve. I don't know how many times I've said that to you at this point. I need to send you a letter that says it. Second, you sound like you're speaking from personal experience. Did someone named Twink for Daddies on Grindr drain your bank account after he called you pretty? Because you're awfully judgmental.
Oh, the truth hurts. Also, shut all the way up, Steven. Thank you. So Joan goes to Lena and is like, oh, we hit this blip in the road. Bump in the road? Blip? What? Let me do that again.
Yeah.
We've hit this bump in the road. Oh, gosh. He stole some money to take care of kids he didn't tell me about, but it's fine. He's a good guy. He loves me. And Lena is gobsmacked. She basically says to Joan, what? You're just blasé blying over kids and taking your money? Because there are so many circumstances where this story could have fixed itself. He could have said, hey, listen, I know we're married. We got married really fast. I forgot about these kids. But the lie and the stealing of the money, it's just a lot. And I side with Lena because she basically says to Joan, he can't be trusted.
Lena was like, we've got blips. We've got blasé blahs. Something is wrong.
Blips, blumps, bumps. Blase blahs. None of it is good.
You said blase blah, and I really...
That's what Daisy and I say on Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
Oh, I don't listen to it.
Available now on your general feed and on Patreon. Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, a Love is Blind recap podcast. There was a woman on the show. She was trying to say blah, 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 and she said blase blah, and Daisy and I have said it ever since.
Got it.
Thank you for listening and caring about my other projects.
I promise. I'm going to listen to it one day when I'm in prison. And I have nothing else to do.
Hi, I'm with Joey Taranto, my other podcast partner.
Seth, I've never heard of him before.
Hi, my love. I was just saying how much I love your show.
Daisy, I wanted to let you know that I said blase blah to Joey, and he didn't know what I was talking about. And then he said he doesn't listen to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Do you think I should quit? I think not. Yes or yes?
Yes, but only if we can have the Patreon.
The joke's on you. I didn't listen to Strange and Unexplained, and I don't listen to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. I support in other ways. But I love you.
I love you too, Joseph.
You're not mad at him?
Yeah, but I can be mad at somebody and love them at the same time.
Thank you so much. And also, she doesn't have time to be mad at me. She is too busy being the non-binary member of the Lollipop Guild. That is a lot of responsibility.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you. Bye. On we blindly stumble.
Well, listen, I also want to say, too, we have all been in love, seen the red flags, and ignored them.
Yes.
We are all guilty of that.
Yep.
But the thing is like, you can't force people to do anything that they don't want to. They have to choose for themselves. And it really is a test in unconditional love. Because sometimes you have to watch your friends. Don't look at me that way, Ellen.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just listening. Like, I'm a blank slate. I have no judgments.
You are a fixer. I am also a fixer because we hate to see each other in pain. But I had a conversation with you where I was like, you have to let me go through this. I know you want to fix it and it's hard, mm-hmm. but this is my lesson to learn, and you have to let me learn it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to lovingly back away, try to support. And also, listen, you can set boundaries with your friends. When Miranda told Carrie, like, hanging out with Big was a huge mistake, that was the right thing to do. But you have to support and love and set boundaries and just know that—
Usually the friend is right.
Well, do you want to get into all the times I was right?
What?
Because we could do that.
What?
So is Lena right? I'll let you be the judge because we're going to fast forward a year later and we see a reenactment ambulance headed somewhere and I think we all know where.
We see Joan on a stretcher. She has symptoms that are out of the blue and really intense. She's throwing up, she's gasping for breath, and one other symptom.
Bloody diarrhea.
Any need, okay? We already are out the door. This is why we can't have nice things.
I think y'all could have left that part out. We didn't really need to know that.
You could just say she was having some gastrointestinal difficulties. We could fill in the blank.
This show? No. They're going to give us all the details. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it came out of nowhere. And so the doctors have no idea what's causing this. Well, bestie Lena gets to the hospital, takes one look at Clay and is like, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
You can step outside while I check in on my best friend. And a very reluctant Clay agrees.
Right. Now, Lena walks into this hospital room while the people at Bizarre Murders are going to try and trick us into thinking it's a hospital room, but it's just a room where reenactment Joan is wearing an oxygen mask. They're not even trying at this point. I watched the Cats movie last night with my cousin.
Oh, God.
And the budget for that movie was $100 million. And of course, my ADHD brain was like, what did they spend $100 million on? And it was all the CGI stuff and everything. With that information, I am armed with the knowledge that the budget for Bizarre Murders was $100 for the entire season, because you're not fooling me.
Well, Lena gets a moment alone with Joan and she's like, dude, what's up with Clay? He's acting weird. And I don't just mean like regular worried about my wife stuff in a hospital. Like, he's acting jumpy.
Lena can barely get two sentences out from this private conversation with her bestie. And Clay's like, hey, how's it going? What are you guys talking about? And she's like, private moment isn't a minute and a half, my guy. But Clay is also acting really controlling and basically says,
I think Joan needs some rest now, so you should go.
Lena's kind of like, I mean, see, this is weird, but this woman is practically going into organ failure, so she leaves them alone.
I think it's safe to say that Clay and Lena won't be riding the Incredicoaster at Disneyland together anytime soon. Like you said, Lena leaves, and Clay stays by Joan's bedside like a dutiful, devoted husband should. But then, minutes later, all the machines are ringing and dinging because Joan's body is shutting down, and the doctors rush to her side, and they quickly determine that Joan has had a stroke and her organs are failing.
They run to Joan, immediately try and stabilize her as best they can. And while they're taking care of her, one of the nurses noticed that Joan's IV bag was cloudy. So they're thinking, what the fuck happened to her IV bag? And then Stephen Moore wants to tell us how hard it is to tamper with an IV. Shut the fuck up. So the doctors run a series of tests, not only on the IV bag, but mostly on Joan. And they find that she has a high amount of lidocaine in her system. And Stephen Moore actually acts like a regular human being in this moment. And he says,
lidocaine is best known as a key ingredient in hemorrhoid cream. So it can get rid of a pain in the ass.
I'm sorry. I spoke too soon. You can't be a human. You lant liquor!
I bind you, Steve. Bind you from doing harm. Harm to others and harm against yourself.
I'm so jealous of people who don't know this guy. Now the doctors are treating this like an attempted murder.
So enter Detective Weber. She was called in by the hospital to investigate the situation. And by the situation, I mean Clay. Now, obviously, they have to consider everyone who's been in Joan's room, hospital staff, and best friend Lena. Mm-hmm. So they start playing process of elimination. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. Detective Weber has no proof of who might have done this. And Joan is like, I think we can let this go. So Detective Weber is like, okay, I don't have any choice but to let it go, but I got my eye on all of y'all. Because that's how they talk in San Francisco. I am going to the hippie commune tonight, and I am the special drummer for the drumming circle.
I am very confused by this because the lidocaine, the cloudy bag, I feel like Hannah Weber was like, well, I got nothing. But it wouldn't be a very good story, so we have to carry on. Joan finally gets out of the hospital, and Clay is a dutiful husband taking care of her, making sure everything is taken care of in the home, cooking for her, being so sweet. But then, faster than you can say, lidocaine is for hemorrhoid cream, so how the shit did that get in my IV bag? Joan is back in the hospital.
You can't say that too fast.
No, I mean, that's the, because you can't, you're right, you can't say that. Carry on with the story, Joseph.
Spell joke!
I think that blonde hair has gone to your head.
Incidentally, when we're talking about long stories, let me tell you, my great uncle Josephus, he is the longest storyteller in all of Portsmouth, Maine. He's known coast to coast, the Maine coasts. Coast to coast is the longest storyteller there's ever been.
Wow. Well, first of all, hi, Sharon. Nice to see you.
Hiya, Blue Eyes. You miss me?
I always miss you. Also, did you say his name was Jephus?
Josephus. What, did that bleach get in your ears and into your noggin? Or have you been taking too many poppers?
How do you know about poppers?
I know a lot of stuff, Blue Eyes. Don't you ever underestimate Sharon Bag of Bones. What I lack in information about carburetors, I make up with my knowledge in gay anal sex.
Why is that?
It's confidential.
It always comes to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I hear you always come to that too, Blue Eyes. That's what I hear on the message boards when people are mentioning your name. That guy always comes. That's what they say.
That's so funny because that's what I want written on my tombstone. Why are you on those message boards?
It's confidential. I like to be a well-rounded person, Blue Eyes. I know you think I'm just a bunch of donkeys in my Dodge Dart, but I am quite worldly. Everybody knows that in Maine, along with my Uncle Josephus and his shari telling. You ask really stupid questions for someone who's very good-looking.
I love a backhanded compliment so much. Did you want to tell us any more about Josephus? Is he very wealthy because
of... Bye.
Wow, she is in and out. Look at that.
That was the nicest she's ever been to me.
She recently discovered edibles.
Great.
Yeah.
Good for her. Joan ends up back in the hospital with the very same symptoms she had before.
Including...
bloody diarrhea.
Jesus.
This is it. This is where we quit.
The only time I want to hear about bloody diarrhea... there's no time I want to hear about bloody diarrhea. So Clay's right by her side, there to protect her. But somehow, that IV, it becomes cloudy again. And when tested, Joan has lethal amounts of lidocaine in her system. What are the chances? Now, this was a different hospital than the previous one. So do both hospitals have a lunatic on staff who is poisoning their patients? Or is it someone close to Joan?
Detective Hannah Weber comes back and she asks Clay to step out of the room. I'm sorry, she doesn't... sorry, I didn't mean to say that. She doesn't say step out of the room. She says this.
I'm going to need you to step out of the room.
I know we said something about Canada last week. I love you, Canada. But your accent is really funny. Come on.
All accents are funny. I love them. I love them so much. Also, I was trying to figure out what we said that was offensive about Canada because we're always singing Canada's praises.
I just think Canada's, they're sensitive right now. They're going through a lot. We love you, Canada.
What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about.
Nothing.
Honey, y'all gave us the best. You gave us Justin Trudeau, the things I would do to that man.
So Detective Weber clears Joan's room, including Lena. And she also puts a guard at the door. And she needs to sit and talk to Joan. And she sits down and says, how are you feeling? Ma'am, this woman has bloody diarrhea. They have told us that an inexcusable amount of time. How do you think she feels? When was the last time you had bloody diarrhea, Hannah? How are you feeling? Great.
Yeah.
Just this pesky bloody diarrhea.
Jesus Christ. I'm shitting blood. It's really deja vu. Why did I say it like that? What is happening to me?
The poppers.
Detective Weber interviews Joan alone so she can speak freely. But Joan refuses to cooperate with the investigation.
Do you know if your husband has been in this room the entire time?
My husband has nothing to do with this.
I think that Joan was just too far in at this point.
Yeah.
And I get it. It probably would be so embarrassing, not that it should be, but I understand the shame that she was worried about feeling with the idea that I devoted my entire life to a man who's trying to kill me. I get it. Unfortunately, that decision continues to put her in harm's way.
And apparently, they still have nothing to go on. How do you have nothing to go on? You have the same instance in different hospitals. This woman is near death. We know of her symptoms. I'm not going to repeat it. How do you have nothing to go on?
Because they can't prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Clay was the one who put that lidocaine in her IV.
Okay, well, put me on that jury. I'd be like, yep, sounds guilty. And the judge says, we haven't started. We're at opening remarks. I'm like, oh, okay, sorry. But just know that I am going to say guilty. Just so you know.
Yeah, so sadly, Detective Weber, it really is deja vu. She leaves and she's got nothing. But you know who will do something about this?
Oh, yes.
Down bitch best friend Lena, because she said,
private eyes are watching you. They see your every move.
Faggot. That's right. And Lena majored in findoutology, and she minored in snooping. We do offer those in fall and spring semesters.
Yeah, she sneaks into Clay's office to see what she can find. And you know what she finds? Life insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
Take it out on Joan. And you know who the sole beneficiary is? Clay.
Lena basically says,
oh, would you look at that?
Yeah, well.
Would you look at that?
And she goes to Joan with the information and the proof. And she says, I know that I have been suspicious, but girl, look at this. This is life insurance that he is the beneficiary of. Did you know about this? To your point from before, she's still kind of like, I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of an explanation. I'll talk to Clay about it.
And I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to be there with a 357 Magnum and some Vaseline in case I need to use these fists. Yeah, you know what the Vaseline does. It makes your fist slide right off the face. Okay.
Got it.
So Joan shows the policies to Clay.
When Joan questions her husband about the policies, he claims he has to protect himself and his children in case anything ever happens to her.
And this is what couples do, you know. Mm-hmm. I actually think that the problem here is Lena. Mm-hmm. You know, she's trying to make me look bad, and why was she in my office? So the next day, Joan tells Lena, look, we figured this out. I think you're trying to break up my marriage, and I can't let you do that. And when Lena tries to be like, no, you are in danger. Mm-hmm. Joan can't hear it anymore. She has literally reached her fill, and she says, get out of my house. I don't want to be friends anymore. anymore.
She's in so deep. You know, she's just been gaslit. The manipulation, he's isolated her. He has convinced Joan that her best friend is out to get him.
Yeah.
Nobody who attends DBU would ever operate like that.
The scariest part here is that now Clay has gotten what he wants all along, mm-hmm. which is to put Joan on an island by herself. So there's no one there to protect her. Well, we fast forward shortly after this, only like a few days. Joan is in bed. The symptoms come back and Joan loses consciousness. When they get her to the hospital, she has no pulse. She's not breathing. And sadly, she was pronounced dead.
Well, Detective Weber is back and she orders an autopsy. Okay, well, maybe we could have looked into this the first two times she was in the hospital, but okay. They find out Joan actually doesn't have lidocaine in her system. Nope. Her cause of death was nicotine poisoning. Have you ever heard of that before?
We covered a case about it. I just can't remember off the top of my head, but we covered a case a long time ago where someone was poisoned with a lethal amount of nicotine.
I can't believe that I have zero recollection of that. Does this mean my brain is full?
No.
Does this mean I'm at max capacity? I remember everything.
No, baby. You are so good at so many things. It's just a day. You're okay. Look at me.
Daddy loves you so much. You're a daddy's sexy little girl. Look at those bangs.
Oh, God, daddy voices here. It's basically like a family reunion today. Now, I know what you're thinking, but let me just tell you, Joan wasn't a smoker.
No.
So how the heck did she die from nicotine poisoning? Well, in addition to the autopsy showing that in her system, the coroner also finds a weird little mark behind her ear, like a little prick. It looks like a needle right behind her ear. You couldn't really see it unless you were looking for it. So Detective Weber has some questions.
Yeah, she interviews Clay and he is adamant.
I called 911 and, well, you know the rest.
He claims the couple had simply enjoyed a quiet evening at home, then headed to bed together.
Did Joan have any enemies who may have wanted to kill her?
He suggests that Weber speak with Lena, the only person Joan fought with recently.
So they bring in Lena and she's like, bruh, it's Clay. Mm-hmm. He took out life insurance policies on her. This man is the devil. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say in the episode whether or not Lena told the investigator about the insurance policies, because then she would have to explain how she got them, which is basically breaking and entering.
Which is actually in San Francisco is legal if like you had a really good reason.
Good to know.
Yeah. Your Honor, he's a liar, liar. His pants are on fire. And they're like, oh, dismissed. Whatever.
Thank you, Harvey Milk. Now, they can't determine the exact time that Joan was poisoned, and they don't have enough proof to support either claims, so the case sadly goes cold. But best friend Lena is destroyed by Joan's death. Clay, on the other hand, that man's sitting pretty.
Well, yeah, I mean, he is a grieving widow, and we do have to respect that. And he does what most people do in a tragic situation where your partner is taken from you way too soon. He sells her house and leaves town.
And in a few weeks, he moves to Los Angeles, where he eventually remarries and has yet another child. Mm-hmm. But Detective Weber turned into Mariah Carey because she was all...
That first album, her best album.
That's Sophie's Choice. It's too many. But that first album is excellent. Anyway, Detective Weber knows the only person who was with Joan the night she died was Clay. And how does she know that? Because Clay told her.
Fast forward 7 years. Clay has been living in LA with his new life, his new family, all of that stuff. And Detective Weber comes knocking at his door and says, hey, so it's been 7 years. Technology has changed all over the world, really, you know, forensics, medicine, poppers, all that stuff. I wanted to talk to you about some interesting information I got from some nicotine experts. Nicotine experts, there's so many jobs.
Clay still claims that he and Joan spent the evening together, then went to bed. When Detective Weber asks whether anyone else came by the house that night, Clay confirms that there was more than a 6-hour period where the couple was alone before Joan died.
Bam! Clay may not know it, but he just gave himself up.
She's like, we were actually able to determine that Joan was poisoned only 30 minutes before her death, which means if you were the only person with her for the 6 hours leading up to her death, you're the only person who could have done it. From there, they're able to come up with a theory of what happened.
Essentially, after Joan went to bed, they think that Clay took a pack of cigarettes, an entire pack, and emulsified the nicotine to make it into a liquid, then put it into a syringe. And remember that little mark, that little hole, pinpoint hole behind her ear? They think that he put a syringe full of nicotine straight into her bloodstream.
Now, not on the episode. If you're thinking, would you wake up being pricked by a needle? He had given her Ambien so that she would be out cold. So when Joan began experiencing symptoms, Clay waited. He was strategic before he decided to call 911. He wanted to wait until she was too far gone.
Yeah.
And when they dig into Clay's past, they realize that not only is this man a murderous cock-juggling thunder cunt, he's also a pathological liar.
Basically, everything he said was a lie. This bitch wasn't even an architect.
Nope.
Could you imagine just sitting there doodling? And he's just like, I'm almost done with these sketches. And he holds it up and it's like peanuts.
Turns out, best friend Lena was right all along. She had his number the whole time. The whole time!
Listen to your down bitches. That is where the episode ends, but it actually has been kind of fun piecing these cases together. You should see my Google searches. I'm probably going to get arrested very soon.
Yeah.
Not for that, for other things that I don't need to talk about. But Joey did his own research too, so let's talk about it.
I did. So the actual victim of this crime was 50-year-old Linda Curry, who was murdered by her husband Paul Curry in 1994. A lethal dose of nicotine was the cause of death, and they had been married for less than 2 years.
Linda Curry, originally Linda Kincaid, met Paul. They worked at the same power plant. So that thing about, you know, them working together was the same.
Yeah.
Incidentally, totally random, did you find in your research that Paul Curry was a two-time Jeopardy winner and a Mensa member?
No.
This man not only was evil, he was ver smart.
Question for you.
Yeah.
What is Mensa?
It's basically a group of real smart people.
Okay, thank you.
So after they met, they were married in Vegas in 1992, and they actually lived in San Clemente, California, which is in Southern California, not in San Francisco. And Linda, by herself, purchased the home that they live in. And by the way, Down Bitch Lena is actually a woman named Down Bitch Mary Siebold. The thing is, they were only married for that short time. This is a true fact that follows this weird fucking TV show. Linda did have a lot of hospital stays, and it was unexplained vomiting, headaches, and guess what, Joey?
Don't say it.
Yep.
No.
Right there, black and white.
No.
Bloody diarrhea.
Jesus.
And the whole thing about the IV bag, that's all true. The doctors called the authorities, all of that. He did take her to another hospital. But here's the thing. A lot of people in Linda's life were speaking up. Mary wasn't the only down bitch. Another down bitch by the name of Bill Sandretto basically begged her to move out of the house.
Wow.
He was a life insurance salesman, and he said, and if you have a life insurance policy, please change the beneficiary's name. Change it to your sister or something. But there were a lot of people in poor Linda's life that saw those flags, and they were red.
Paul only waited one day after his wife's death to cash in that life insurance policy. And he did move away.
Did you see how much it was for?
$300,000?
$547,695. So as good as $548,000.
Well, it took the investigators 16 years to prove that Paul was the murderer. And in 2010, he was arrested. And that's simply because of significant forensic advancements, right? Mm-hmm. And the star witness in that trial
is so good.
Leslie Curry. That was Paul's last wife, who had also been experiencing health issues and was being pressured by Paul into getting a life insurance policy. Well, they were denied the policy because Leslie had health issues. Mm-hmm. So Paul left her. And you know what happened? Leslie's health issues almost immediately disappeared when they separated.
And she was the key witness. Leslie Curry was like,
you must not know about me. You must not know about me.
So in 2020, Paul was convicted of first-degree murder and insurance fraud and given life in prison. Rot in hell.
What a disgusting piece of shit. But also, for a smart man, how are you so stupid? I cannot believe it took them that long. The evidence to me doesn't seem as circumstantial as they made it out to be, but who am I? I'm just a crazy lady with bad bangs and a podcast mic.
That's not true.
Aw.
You have two podcast mics.
Okay. Say something funny.
Ellen, it's me, the Holy Ghost.
Now the family's all together. Hi, Holy Ghost.
Hello. I just wanted to pop in to tell you something very important.
What?
Just kidding. I just didn't want to be left out.
Oh, down bitch marriages. Bye-bye, bizarre murders. I hope you all are happy with yourselves. I want you to all look at yourselves in the mirror and, well, you're nice people. Listen, I don't want you to say anything bad. It was fun. It was silly. What a show. But we will be moving on to a new show next week. In the meantime, can you follow us on social media, please? I Think Not Pod on TikTok and Instagram. And most importantly, please follow us on YouTube. You all, everybody who finally comes to our YouTube page always says to us, I can't believe I waited so long to watch the YouTube. You guys are so funny looking. They always say funny looking.
You can also find us on YouTube at I Think Not Pod. Please like, subscribe, and share with someone who's having a bad day because we want to make it worse. And again, don't forget about our Patreon where you can get bonus episodes for you, your friends, your family, or someone you really don't like. And that's patreon.com/I Think Not. And also, if you want to keep up to date with what we've got going on, maybe a tour,
maybe
head on over to Facebook where you can find us at I Think Not Podcast Facebook discussion group. And you can keep up to date with all of our announcements and you can get to know our other DBs.
And I just want to say we love our jobs.
We do.
That's it. Thank you for being here. We love you. We had a meeting the other day and we just have so much fun stuff coming up and we get to do so many fun things. And that's only because you all sit and yes and join in the tomfoolery. So thank you. We love you.
We sure do.
And I love you, Joey.
I love you too, Marie Marsh, and I love you, DB, so much.
I love you, dumb bitches. Bye.
You ain't never getting rid of Bobby Lynn.
I'm doing that for you because I would want you to do it for me.
That is the defense invoked by serial killers.
Yeah, direct me. Direct me, mommy. I don't want to be annoying.
Yeah.
Can you just say one of the nurses? Because you said, so one of the nurse.
Did I say that, Rick?
You did. You said, so one of the nurse.
So all the people in the hospital run to Joan and immediately try to stabilize her. And while they're doing that, one of the nerdists.
One of the nudists. It's a nudist hospital. You want to check into this hospital? Take off all your clothes.
This is off the goddamn rails.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.